Hello, everyone. Welcome to the monthly binge call. I'm so excited to be here with you all today. I am guest coach Jane Pilger, and this topic, this call, is very important for two reasons, and I want to share both of them with you. So, the first reason that I want to share is that tonight is going to be my last call as a guest coach here within the No BS program. So many of you might know, I actually have my own business where I help women who struggle with binge eating. And I have been just doing amazing work within that group, within my clients. And I am choosing to step back and to focus on that business and my clients at this time. Now, here's what I want you to know. I am not going anywhere. I am still going to be a No BS woman, Corinne's number one biggest fan. I will be at every camp. I will still be inside No BS, inside the Facebook group, the Binge Support Facebook group, but I won't be in as the coach of record. I won't be in there kind of leading the monthly calls and leading the coaching and the support inside the Facebook group. But I have great news for you. Coach Betsy, who is in the chat this evening, for those of you who are on the call live, Coach Betsy is going to be stepping in and taking over the reins as the binge coach within No BS. And Coach Betsy is amazing. You guys all probably know that. Coach Betsy was one of my private clients many years ago when we first started coaching together. Coach Betsy has all an amazing wealth of knowledge on the topic of binge eating, and you will all be in great hands with her. So this transition is going to take place at the end of September. So this will be my last monthly call with you. I will be around again. I'm not actually going anywhere, but I will be focusing on my own clients and that business there. Now, here's the second reason why this is a very important call. The topic we are talking all about planned binges tonight. And what we're going to talk about is how and when to plan a binge. Now, this is very important. If you are somebody who is curious about planning a binge, maybe you've never planned a binge, but you want to, maybe you have some fear, you have some questions, you have some doubts. Now is the time to get your questions answered. Go ahead. If you have questions, I'd love for you to type them into the Q&A. If you would like to be coached live on this topic, the topic of a planned binge, or really anything related to binge eating, feel free to raise your hand and I will get to as many of you as I can. Okay, so the planned binge, what's the purpose of a planned binge? Why do we even do the planned binge anyway? The purpose of a planned binge is to bring awareness into your binge experience. So a lot of times what happens is that when we binge, we essentially use the binge as a way to disconnect from ourselves. So we use that food, we use the binge to kind of, the way that I used to say it is that I was like turning the lights off on myself. Like it was my way of slamming the door on myself, turning the lights off. I would imagine many of you have had the experience where it's almost kind of like a blackout. Like you don't really know. I don't know what I ate. I don't really remember. I don't have any recollection until you kind of come to after the fact and you see, wow, I just ate all that food. Like I can't even believe that I just ate all that food. So what we do with the planned binge is it's like we are creating a scenario where we can binge with the lights on. So instead of turning the lights off, we're going to binge with the lights on. And this will allow us to bring awareness into our situation. Now, we can't change what we aren't aware of. So you're going to get to see patterns. Maybe it's patterns of thinking. Maybe it's patterns of what's going on in your body. Like, what am I actually feeling in my body? What am I thinking during the time that I'm actually eating all of this food? So I'm going to plan it so that I can be intentional about it. Here's what happens for most people. Most people are just like, oh, now I'm binging. There can be, I know for me, I used to have like this imaginary line It was very imaginary and it was very arbitrary. But this imaginary line, I would be eating, don't eat too much, don't eat too much, don't eat too much. Well, now I've blown it. Now it's a binge. Now I'm binging. And as somebody who is a high achiever, I mean, if I'm going to binge, I'm going to go all in, right? So now that I'm binging, I'm binging. And so then it's like, all right, well, now I'm all in. There may be a lot of thoughts going on, like I'm not going to do this again tomorrow. I might as well get it all in now. I have to finish. And really, even just like to me, a binge meant like going all in, eating at basically like as much as I could. But it was all really done from this place of I'm disconnecting. I am making the choice. I'm binging now, but I'm also disconnecting from myself. So with the planned binge, what we're doing is we're saying, okay, I am going to plan this experience and keep the lights on to see what I can learn. It's a way for you to become a scientist, for you to really get to know what's happening, and for you to learn something about yourself so that you can create awareness that you may not already have. Then we can start to pick apart things. What is there something here I want to change? Oh, maybe this really isn't even true. Wow, look, I'm thinking this thing. I'm believing that I can't stop when, maybe there are other options for me. There's a lot of things that it will reveal to you in the process. So you have an amazing resource for you. It's inside the Trusting Your Body course that is in the self-guided courses, Trusting Your Body. In module two, there is a Trusting Your Body toolkit. In this link there, it says in module two, the toolkit, and it says bookmark this page. If you have not bookmarked the page for the toolkit inside Trusting Your Body, this is an amazing resource for you, not just about the planned binge, but all kinds of other tools that you can use for yourself in the moment of a binge, whether that is the pause, whether it's breathing, whether it's grounding yourself. There are a lot of tools there you can use. One of in the bonus resources in the bottom of the toolkit, it says planned binge. You can click on that link and you will get a teaching to learn about the concept of the planned binge. There is also, I believe there is some recording, some previous recording of people being coached about the concept of the planned binge. There is a worksheet, a planned binge worksheet. What you do is you plan in advance. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, at this time, I am going to eat this food. So we get pretty specific in our planned binge, and we do this because we're bringing the intentional back brain on board. We don't want to just be like, oh yeah, I'm planning it. I'm going to binge tomorrow. And then we just kind of like give ourselves permission, but almost like just using it as an excuse. We're not using this as an excuse to binge. This is a reason to become a scientist, to get to know about our binges, to binge in a different way. So we say, okay, you know what? Here's what I know about myself. All of us have patterns that we repeat repeatedly over time. A lot of the food we binge on are very similar repeatedly. A lot of the times of day where we binge, a lot of that is the same, maybe the location. We have these patterns that we repeat. So what you want to do is say, okay, here's what I know about myself. After lunch, I often binge. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to plan that tomorrow after lunch, I'm going to binge. So I'm going to do my plan. I'm going to plan my breakfast. I'm going to plan my lunch. Then I'm going to put in planned binge. And I'm going to plan the foods that I usually binge. So I'm going to plan essentially what I usually do when I binge and when I'm just like, forget it. Like, I'm just going to binge. I'm going to like eat all the food. I'm going to plan it. Now, when it comes time, and I've eaten my lunch, and now it's like, all right, it's time for my planned binge. I get to choose. Do I want to plan to do the planned binge or do I not? I'm not forced to. Just because it's on my plan does not mean I'm forced to go binge now if I don't want to. Here's what happens for some people. Some people, they're like, I don't even want to, especially now that I have permission, now that it's like, I'm like looking at the whole thing, like, I don't really even want to do that. Okay, fine, don't. Then plan it for the next day. And the next day, and the next day. One day you might actually want to binge. And then, if you do decide to go with your planned binge, you continue to use the worksheet through the process. We aren't just like planning a binge and then turning the lights off and then turning the lights back on 2 hours later and been say like, oh, yep, there was my planned binge. That is not a planned binge. Maybe because it was written on your plan, but that is not the purpose of the planned binge. The purpose is to have the lights on to be able to really bring awareness into this time that you don't normally bring awareness to, where you normally disconnect. So we want to become really aware of what's happening. Now, some reasons why some people typically don't like or maybe have resistance or hesitation to planning a binge. Some people say, well, I may not want to. Okay, fine. You don't have to. This is not a, like, this is literally a choice. You put it on your plan. You don't have to binge if you don't want to. If you, some people say, I don't want to gain weight. I don't want to binge. I don't want to gain weight. I don't want to binge. Now, if you are already binging, then I'm going to offer you're binging anyway. So let's go ahead and plan it and see what we can learn from it. If we can binge in a new way, you will get new information that you will be able to then take that information and decide what you want to do with it. So there's a saying that you may have heard that is 1,000% true. What you resist persists. So if you're somebody who's like, but I don't want to binge, I don't like that I'm binging, but you are binging on somewhat of a regular or consistent basis, you're binging anyway. So let's binge differently. Let's look at it in a different way. Let's accept the fact that you're binging and see if we can't bring a new perspective and some new awareness to it. Okay, so if you are already binging, the only reason to plan a binge is if you are binging anyway. So I know that you don't want to be binging. I get it. I didn't either. Nobody wants to binge. But if you're binging anyway, the planned binge will allow you to bring some new awareness and insight to it. Some people might think, oh, once I binge, like I haven't binged in a while. And once I binge, I have a hard time. Like I feel like I get in this loop and I can go for a long time without binging. And then I start to binge. And then it's like 2 weeks. I go 2 weeks like straight with, and then I'm just like in the cycle. So there's this idea that once I binge, then I'm like on the slippery slope. Okay. So here's what we want to look at for that. Now, if you haven't binged in a long time, you don't need to plan a binge. If binging is something that is happening for you either regularly, periodically, there's some frequency, there's some pattern you can see, it's a great tool to bring in. And just the way you do it is you say, okay, what is my typical pattern? This is when I'm going to plan it. I'm going to plan it for when I'm typically doing it. You can also plan it for a time you don't typically do it. But if you do, don't be surprised if you don't want to in that moment. You might not want to anytime you plan it. There's no like right or wrong way to do it or even outcome of a planned binge. It's just like it's an experiment. You are becoming the scientist of your binges. Now, if you are one of those people who's like, oh, the slippery slope, that's me, right? You know, me too. Now, if that's you, here's what we have a couple of opportunities to work on. You are seeing yourself as somebody who, once they slip up, they're on a slippery slope. They can't get back up. They're down for days or for weeks. Do you see how this view of yourself in this way would set you up to be like, oh, well, there I go. I knew that would happen to me. This is like somebody who says, oh, you know what? Anytime I eat XYZ food, anytime, it's like boom. It's like, it's not the food that is doing it to you. It's you. It's the way you are seeing yourself in relation to that food. The way you are seeing yourself in relation to having one binge, what that will mean. Now, is it possible that the day after a binge, you might have more cravings, more desire for the type of foods that you binged on the day before? Is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Does it mean that you can't handle it or that you are going to be, you know, eating those foods for days and days and days and you are going to be on the slippery slope and unable to get up? No, it doesn't mean that at all. It means you may have a few more urges. It means you may have a few more opportunities to use any one of the myriad of tools that are available to you within no BS. And there are so many different things that you can do. If you know it's coming, it's like, all right, I knew this was coming. I know what to do. I've got the tools. I've got the support. I've got this. And then you just go right back to it. It's your opportunity to create resilience with yourself. Instead of seeing yourself as, oh, as soon as I fall down, that's it. I'm like down for 2 weeks. No, let's create some resilience. So those are some of just kind of the common resistances or objections to the planned binge. All right, I've got a couple questions here. A couple people have raised their hands, and we'll get to some coaching. Okay. So somebody has a question. Do I plan? Oh, I do plan. I have been a member off and on for a little while. I'm conflicted on either continuing doing the four basics, listening to replays, or do four basics and do trusting the body. I think that would be good for me, but I feel I should focus on the four basics now. I've been back for about a month now, but I've been here before. So, Lucilla, if you are somebody who struggles with binging, I would highly recommend you go into trusting your body. Trusting your body and the four basics absolutely work together. These are not like in conflict with each other. But if you are somebody who binging, if binging is a thing for you, I highly recommend going into the Trusting Your Body course. It may be, there may be some aspects of your nervous system, some other aspects that could be really helpful for you in that course that could be helpful, but they do not conflict with each other. Okay, I've listened to your podcast since I met you at camp. Thank you, Lori. I realize I binge mainly around power slash control of situations, people I have no power or control over, but it impacts me in some way. When I feel this, I notice I start planning my food sources and obsess thinking about this. Sometimes I can delay the action of the binge, but not the thoughts until I binge suggestions. Okay, this is such a great realization. Now, one of the things I talk about a lot, it is very important for all of you to know your own patterns. Every single one of us has patterns. What do I know about myself? What do I notice about myself? When am I more likely to want to binge? When am I more likely to start to get a lot of urges? What do I notice for myself? Maybe it's fatigue, maybe it's anything else. So what Lori is saying is here is she realizes like she's wanting to have power or control over situations where she doesn't. And so we actually do this a lot. A lot of times, if we feel out of control in one area of our life, we can turn to food to try to control because food is something that we have used and we have been trying to control for years, whether we're controlling food, whether we're trying to control our bodies. So it really makes a lot of sense that we would, if we can't control something else, we see ourselves wanting to control it, but we realize we can't, then we go to that thing that we think we can control, and that is either food or our bodies. So what we want to do is just notice that, like notice that desire to control. So again, it's just that awareness. We want to see, oh, I see this is coming for me or coming up for me. We don't want to judge it. And so, but we can see, it makes sense. How does it make sense? It makes sense. I think I feel out of control, so I'm trying to control my food. When we try to control our food, a lot of times we might even rebel against that. So then there might be, there might be then kind of like that rebound impact of the binge. So when I notice I'm feeling out of control, now I'm wanting to control like with food, and then I'm feeling that binge urge, just like, oh, what I like to do there is just notice it and then realize. I think for me, a lot of times it's just the awareness of there are some things I just can't control. Yes, I might be frustrated. Yes, I might want to. I wish I could control them, but I can't. And there's almost just like some, we almost sometimes have to give us ourselves a little space and like a little, it's even a place where we can pause and like just release a little bit of tension. When we want to control, it's like when you feel it in your body, right? It's tense, it's tight. It's that tight tension that creates urges, that creates that desire to eat because we're so tight and we're so tense. What we really need is to relax, to literally let go. Like, okay, I see what's happening here. I see my tension increasing. I see that I'm trying to control something I can't control. I also actually know I can't really control my food or my body in ways that are beneficial to me either. So I'm just gonna like relax and try to loosen it all. Maybe I do that through a deep breath. Maybe I put my hand on my heart and I just really see, I know you want to control things you can't, but, and we just take a nice deep breath and just see how that impacts. It's like seeing that what we're trying to do when we can really see under the hood, I'm trying to control. It's not about the food. It's about what I'm trying to do and I'm trying to control and I'm trying to take that out on the food. Mary, I'm not quite sure your question. I think I'm going to need you to ask you to reword it. It says, does planning a binge, does it control not to binge? If you could reword that for me, I want to make sure I understand what you are asking. Okay, I want to talk about one more thing and then we are going to bring on some coaching. Somebody had asked in the binge support Facebook group today, somebody had asked about timed eating. And Corinne did a call, I guess a few weeks ago. I don't know the exact date of the call. Betsy can put it into the chat and into the show notes. But she had done a call recently about timed eating or structured eating and how specifically that can be helpful for bingers. And let me talk to you just a little bit about that and what that means. So if binging is something that you struggle with, eating on a more of a schedule, eating on a regular and consistent basis can be very helpful for your body for a couple of reasons. Most of us who binge, who have a history of binging, we also have a very large history of restriction. The binge restrict cycle, right? It's a pendulum. And this comes by the way of extreme dieting. Many of us, myself included, have done a lot of pushing our hunger to extremes. We have done a lot of not giving ourselves and our bodies enough food. This is the number one of the main reasons why people binge is like literally, it's like starvation. So the body is like, oh, you're going to starve me again. If you are going to starve me again, I'm just going to, anytime I can get food, I'm going to get as much as I can. And if you're constantly toying with me, you're constantly toying with how much or when you're going to feed me. I don't know if I'm going to be fed regularly or not. So I am going to get as much as I can. If I even get a whiff or a hint of a diet coming, of restriction coming, I think you're going to do that terrible thing to me that you did before, where our life was literally it in danger. You were not giving me enough food. Remember, the brain's number one job is to keep us alive. If we don't feed ourselves enough to keep us alive, the brain perceives that as a threat. If we have done that repeatedly over time, when we start doing those things to ourselves again, the brain's like, alert, alert, no, we can't do that. Famine is coming again. We better get as much as we can right now. So the body has this history of famine and perceived threat. And so if it gets a whiff that this is coming again, it's like, no, we don't want to do that. And it can overcompensate because it's really freaked out and it sees this as a threat. So what's important is for the body to know you will feed it on a regular basis. When there's a lot of history of dieting, of eating sometimes, not eating sometimes, of really pushing your hunger, whatever it is, your body and your nervous system are like, I don't really trust you. I don't really trust that you're actually going to feed me on a regular basis because of all of that stuff you've done to me over the past. So it becomes like a process of actually showing and proving to ourselves and proving to our bodies we will get fed regularly, consistently. So for some people, it can be very helpful to say, you know what? I'm going to eat 3 meals a day. I'm going to also plan. I'm going to eat 3 meals a day and I'm going to have two or three snacks. And maybe I'm going to even set like a little kind of time windows. It doesn't have to be at 7 a.m. every single day. I'm going to eat and at 11 a.m. and at 1 p.m. But I might have just kind of time windows. I generally eat breakfast between this time and this time. I generally check in with myself between this time and this time to see if I need a snack in the morning. I generally eat lunch between this time and this time. In the afternoon, here's kind of when I check in with myself for a snack. Dinner, generally in this range. And after dinner, generally here's my range. That's what I do in terms of like allowing myself. I don't always eat at every single one of those times, but you can bet I give myself permission and I check in to see because my body really wants to know regularly it's going to get fed. Now, this is for somebody who, if you have really pushed hunger a lot, if you notice yourself like really having a hard time just eating consistently, maybe you really go from like, I'm either eating not very much or I'm totally binging. And then I'm trying to make up and not eat very much because I binged. And then I'm binging again. If you find yourself very much on the pendulum of I'm either kind of like trying to lose the weight or trying to make up for the binge or I'm binging, one of the things that can really help is more structured eating, which is giving yourself kind of windows to eat and making sure. I know for me, if, and this is where knowing yourself and knowing your patterns is very important. I know for me, when I skip a meal intentionally or unintentionally, the next day or even later, it has gotten so much better now. But it used to be pretty much guaranteed. If I would skip a meal, even unintentionally, the next day I would end up excessively consuming food, whether it was in a binge, whether it was whatever, it was like it turned on the like alert, alert. I think famine might be coming onto my brain. Now, it has gotten much better now that I have been eating consistently and regularly over a more extended period of time. I can now handle more easily not like having longer periods of time between eating, but I still like to just let my body know. I like to check in and let myself know. Here's the other place where kind of more timed and more structured eating can help. This is in getting hunger and fullness signals back. So one of the reasons Corinne was talking about this specifically in relation to some people who have a hard time with their hunger signals, maybe because of weight loss drugs, maybe because of surgery. I will tell you, other people who have a hard time with their hunger signals are people who have ignored and suppressed their hunger signals for years, if not decades. If you are somebody who literally doesn't really get hunger signals, like just literally don't get them. I went through this. It's likely because you ignored it and you suppressed it for so long that your body just was like, well, I'm just going to suppress it. So eating regularly can get your hunger signals back online and back on board. So that's another benefit and reason of eating regularly and consistently. Now we do want it. So what I do is both. I have a window. I kind of check in. I don't freak out if it's like, if it's before or after, but I do in general, like I eat three meals a day. I eat anywhere from one to three snacks a day, but I check in. I'm always checking in with my hunger and like really seeing what does my body need. It's not just because it's this time and now I eat, but I am taking into account a lot of what else is happening in my body, how are my energy levels, and all of that. Okay, now let's get to some coaching. Tammy, we are going to bring you on. Here she comes.
Okay. Hi, oh my
Hi.
God, I'm with Jane. Congratulations on your Master Coach
Well,
certification.
thank you.
I
Thank you
heard
very
it on
much.
my phone while I was watching. It was really great.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I will tell you, so for those of you who are on the call and don't know what Tammy is talking about, we recently attended the Life Coach School Mastermind, and I was awarded my Master Coach certification. And I will tell you all, I earned that certification through the Trusting Your Body course. So you are all benefiting from that work and through that course. So super fun.
Okay, so I am benefiting, but I wanted to ask you about home base.
Yes.
So I have a specific accountability partner, Stacy, who her and I like binge better together, and that's working really well. But we had a question. We watched the home base lesson together, and how do feelings relate to home base? So she was talking about anger and how anger puts her above home base. She has a relationship with anger. She doesn't like anger. But for me, like my home base when I started an OBS 4.5 years ago, it was very, very small. So we have the feelings wheel and we have the home base chart. I'm just wondering how like that goes together and expanding the home base to be able to feel more
Yeah,
without freaking out.
such a good question. So they are so emotions and home base can be they can be interrelated. So home base basically is for anybody who hasn't let's who hasn't been through the Trusting Your Body course, we're talking essentially about the nervous system and we're talking about the regulated place in your nervous system. So I refer to it as home base. It's that place where you just feel like I'm here, I'm connected, I'm grounded, I'm at home. When you're in home base, the nervous system is it is perceiving safety. So I'm safe is the home base place. Now, when we talk about emotions, what I refer to with our emotions is our emotional capacity. So your emotional capacity is your ability to feel any emotion. Now, what we want to do is we can expand. You can expand your emotional capacity. You can also expand your home base. Oftentimes, they do go together. They're not exactly like one and one, but they are related. So it's like, for example, even and we'll use urges as an example. Many people have urges. We all have urges to do various things, right? We might have urges to eat. We might have urges to, go check Facebook while you're sitting in church, right? You might have urges to say something to somebody when, maybe it might not be the most effective thing to say. So we have urges, right? So it's the urge itself isn't like the problem. It's our relationship with it. So just like you were talking about with Stacey and her relationship with anger, if she's like, no, I don't like anger. I don't like anger. I don't want it. I don't want to be there, right? It's like she's perceiving anger is not safe. So this is where we can see there is a little bit of correlation where her body is perceiving anger is not safe. Therefore, when I sense anger coming into my body, boom, I'm going to go right into a survival response because I don't think it's safe to feel anger. We do the same thing with our urges to binge, right? So it's I have this urge, I get this like, oh, this kind of tight, or maybe I get like the kind of like the prickles on my arm where all I want to do is just get up and go to the pantry or get up and drive myself somewhere to get something to eat. And when I start to feel that, if that feeling, if I don't feel safe with that, that feels like a threat, like, oh no, here it is. I can't control myself. Oh my gosh, all of that. Then I'm sensing danger. Then that's going to put me into the fight or flight response. So there, it is a matter of the relationship with the emotion, whether it's the urge. And with the urge, it's like, it's kind of we have the physical sensations and we also have the emotion of it, that urgent desire. But it really is the relationship. And this is why some people can be really angry at somebody and respond or react in a very different way than somebody else. It's like our body and kind of our nervous system's perception to that emotion. But home base is not just a matter of it's not only your emotional state, but in general, it is the felt sense of safety. Does
Okay.
that make sense?
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
And then using the tools, we can expand our home base.
Yes, exactly. So what we want to do is everybody is going to have times where they're above home base and below home base throughout. And so we can go and in general, we want to be able to go up and down. We want to be able to recognize when we're in home base, when we're kind of getting towards the top, maybe when we're getting towards the bottom, start to see that. And then we can use the tools to bring ourselves more into home base. The other thing we can do is also expand the size of our home base. So when we can expand the size of our home base, then I can be with more things without throwing myself into into a survival response. So let's talk about this with even related to binging, right? So like we were just talking about that call, talking about kind of timed eating, structured eating, hunger, for example. Hunger, the experience of hunger for some people can send somebody straight into a survival response. Sometimes it is because we're thinking like, oh my God, I can't stand being hungry. Like, I don't like this feeling. I got to get rid of it. It can be sometimes like what we're thinking about it. It can also be the body's response, the nervous system's response to, okay, we have done this a lot of times before. There's been a famine. You know, we've had all of this. So I'm going to respond, even if I'm not bringing in like the cognitive thoughts of like, hunger's not an emergency. I still have my nervous system that is responding to these prior events that is thinking that hunger is not safe. So this is why we have to, in some cases, if you ever sense for something that there your response is it's almost a mismatch. It's called an interoceptive mismatch. That's a very fancy word for if you ever notice that your response to something seems bigger than what might be warranted for the situation, like, wow, I am really freaking out over a spilled orange juice, right? Like something that's not that big of a deal, and all of a sudden there's kind of a mismatch. That is a very clear sign somewhere, someplace in your nervous system, you are not feeling safe. So we want to just create more safety. So part of this work is creating safety with ourselves with hunger. We
That's
can't
really
just do it.
interesting.
We can't just do it by like forcing ourselves, like talking to ourselves. Like we really do have to like let ourselves know that number one, we aren't going to be like, this is different. The way I'm doing this is different. I'm not going to keep starving you. But you've got to see like where the body is like, if you have starved me so many times before, then yeah, I am going to react to that. I might even overreact to that. So we have to create some kind of calm and some safety in the body until the body like will calm down around it. And then, okay, maybe it is okay. Maybe this is okay sometimes.
Okay, that is huge because I kind of thought all this time that, because thinkings create feelings, right? Thinkings, thoughts create feelings. And so then I've got to change my thoughts or feel differently. But this is different. This is like my body almost has a memory of the shit that I've done to it before.
Yes, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. So this is where we cannot just look at the thoughts. Now, the thoughts are very important. The sentences that come through your head, the thoughts that you're thinking, yes, very important. If I'm thinking I hate hunger, or, I don't like to be hungry, I don't like this, I need to fix it, all of that, yes. But there is this felt sense in the body. We can't, and that is it is, and when Corinne calls it like diet trauma, it really is. It is. And so you've also heard, this is a great book, by the way, The Body Keeps the Score by Bessel van der Kolk. The body does keep the score. Your body is keeping the score of all of the diets you've been on in the past. So we do, it is like we do have to think about it, but this is why within the Trusting Your Body course, it's like we can't outthink anything if we don't bring the body into the equation. So it has to be this combination of if you're like trying to convince yourself about something in your head, but in your body, it's like, no. Like, I don't know. Like you feel very unsettled. You feel that kind of survival response in your body. You need to respond to your body. We can't just like, oh, come on, you're overreacting. Like, you shouldn't be thinking this way. Oh, it's not that big of a deal. We do so much damage to ourselves. This is where we can like hold coaching against ourselves. And when we're like, oh, you should just think a different thought. Oh, you should, have this figured out or whatever. It's like, really tune into for anybody, ask yourself anytime, like, what was my body telling me? If I really tune in, what did I notice in my body? What was my body telling me about what did I notice in my body before? Let's say you had a binge. Like, Did I notice anything like what was going on for me in my body before that even happened? That's what we want to do is start to get like the signals from our body and start to be able to be like, oh, that I know what that is. Like, and in general, here's the most basic tip for all of you. If it feels tight, if it feels constrictive, if it feels like, ugh, like I want to like push against it, resist against it, that is a good signal that we're probably going up into kind of that fight or flight, that our body is telling us, no, we don't like this. This doesn't feel right. This doesn't feel safe.
Okay.
So then we want to, the work then that we want to do is how can I kind of let some of that go? How can I soften into it? How can I open into it? How can I give myself space? Whether it's with a pause, whether it's with some deep breathing, whether I go ground myself, whether I call my bestie, whether I whatever, like if you notice that tension, this is what we want to do when we eat. We're really looking to release this tension. So if you can notice the tension first, oh, I see it, I notice it, I feel it. Let me just see if there are some other things I can do to release the tension. If I need to eat, fine, I totally can. I have permission. We don't want to tell ourselves no. But let's try a few other things first, and then we can always come back to the food if we need to.
So good. So
Yeah.
good. Thank you
Yeah.
so much for
Yes.
all of this.
Absolutely.
Thank
Such a
you.
great question. I think this was probably very helpful for everyone listening. So thank you. Awesome. All right. Let's put you back to attendee. Okay, we have a question. My binge pattern now, when I'm at the gym or store, I start to have urges to stop for my favorite binge foods and eat before I get home. Not as much volume as it used to be. Also, it's important I get rid of evidence before I get home by finding a trash can somewhere. Oh, Linda, this was me. I knew all the trash cans, the gas stations, you name it. Husband and I have had conversation about eating at home without being secretive. I don't understand why. Still, I want to eat from the store when I'm out of the house. So, Linda, what I would get curious about for you is, what are you eating in the store? It may be sometimes the foods that we binge on are foods that we actually really like and that we want to be eating, but we're not giving ourselves permission to be eating. So look at that. Look at, am I allowing these foods? Maybe it's just a matter of bringing those foods, the foods that you're binging on, actually planning for them, bringing them in on a regular basis so that it doesn't feel forbidden. If you are, a lot of times the foods that we binge on are foods that we're not really allowing ourselves to eat, so they feel forbidden, which is why then we which is why we need to like get the food in kind of a secretive way because we're not giving ourselves permission. All right, let's bring on CG. We are going to coach. Somebody asks, will we still be able to ask you questions in the Facebook group? Yes, you can ask me questions in the Facebook group. Hello.
Hi, am I
Oh,
here?
yes, you're here.
I am so delighted to meet you, Jane. I've done your course twice, and it's so good.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Okay, I am 70 years old, and I've been binging for probably 55 years. I had a binge last night, so I was just so tickled you were going to be on today because it's fresh in my mind. I am fairly sure that some of the reason I'm binging, a lot of the reason I'm binging now is because of restriction. But when I started No BS, I couldn't tell my hunger signals if I was hungry or not, how hungry I was. I can't tell if I'm restricting. How do you tell if you're restricting?
Okay. So tell me this, how, when you say, I'm pretty sure my binges are because of restriction, how, what are your, what's your spidey sense?
Well, I did instead of the disco sheet, I do your how to nurture yourself after an
Yeah.
overeat. And the question on the back, what did I really need in the moment I was trying to use food to solve? Just bang, I wrote down enough, just gut reaction. I couldn't really tell enough what.
Yeah. I hear your cat in the background. So
Oh.
tell me in general, how do you make decisions? How do you make decisions about how much to eat?
Oh, well, I don't really eat till I'm full because I have learned that I know exactly how much and I dish that out. I don't like a lot of variety in my food. I have the same thing for breakfast every morning. I have the same thing for lunch every morning. And then I'm very fortunate to have a husband who's a brilliant cook. And I have either what he cooked that night or a leftover from the night before. My snack in the evening is very important to me, and I love fresh fruit, sweet fresh fruit. There's nothing like it with some tea.
Okay. So then, and so you said you don't eat until full because you've learned.
Oh, in a restaurant, I will, but at home, I know just how much to dish out. I know just what my bowl is going to be. Sometimes I'll put something back. If I dished out too much, it doesn't happen really real often.
Yeah. So do you tune in with your body? Do you get signals from your body in terms of eating, in terms of fullness, or is it just like this is
I
how much
do.
I know that I eat? Okay.
I do. I guess I just do the other two, because it's just so fast. Like we make a homemade muesli. We've eaten it for over 10 years every morning. So good. And I dish out two thirds of a cup. I know it'll take me right till noon.
And in general, I mean, if that does, here's one thing to know for everybody, our needs really do change from day to day. Our needs change from day to day. Our needs can change from within the seasons. Our needs can change as we age. Our needs can change with our activity levels. So I do just want to caution anybody who's thinking, I just know this is the amount of food that I need because this is how it's been for 10 years. Anybody's needs and all of that really do change over time. So that's like one little indicator to me that you are probably using some external cues to make your decisions, which isn't always a bad thing, but in general, we do want to make sure that we are connecting with what your body is telling you. Because the body communication is very important. And a lot of us have ended up, we've learned to kind of push that aside. When you binge, what types of foods do you binge on?
Well, the one last night, oh, okay, say we just had Thanksgiving, I'm going to go for the pie. But if that's not in the house, I'm not going to go out and shop for it. Last night, from what was in the house, I had four diet sodas. I'm in Arizona, I get really thirsty. They are so dry. And we had some Skinny Pop popcorn. I had, judging from the side of the dish, 4 cups of that, and then an 8 ounce bag. 8 ounces doesn't sound like much, but that's a lot of volume of popcorn, and 4 protein bars. And then I couldn't eat anything else.
Been there. Definitely been there. So are these foods, popcorn, diet soda, protein bars, are these foods that you eat regularly? So tell me when the binge started. I mean, if we just kind of like go through the process, like when it started, like walk me through the process. It started after dinner.
So I snack in the evening about 7 o'clock, and I did that, and then I just kept on eating.
Okay. Is that a typical pattern for you?
The last time I binge about 2 to 3 times a month. The last time I did was about 3 weeks ago. I've been on a plan since then. I don't really overeat very often, but the binges,
Okay.
yeah.
So what do we know about yesterday then? If it had been 2 to 3 weeks, like if you just kind of look at yesterday to kind of like, how does it make sense? How does it
Okay.
make sense that yesterday you would binge?
I had active COVID 2 weeks before, and I've been
isolating, and I haven't had much energy or stamina, so I haven't gone anywhere. I haven't done anything. So there's kind of a I need to get out and do something, boredom, that kind of thing. There's that. Oh, there's more to. Oh, that day my website was having problems, and I spent about 5 hours just it's just mashing your brains trying to figure out what the problem is, and I fixed it. But that was stressful, and I was really glad when it was done. And then really, I had to get a newsletter out for my business, and I had problems with that, or I don't. And instead of taking a half an hour, 45 minutes, it ate up 3 more hours. So it was technically, I had bad, what do we call it, technical karma
Yeah. Okay.
that day.
So we had 5 hours. We had 5 hours with your website. We had 3 hours on the newsletter. And there may be, I mean, we don't even need to go into all of it, but there may also be just some underlying stuff that comes up around your business. Even just underlying, right? We probably have some underlying, anybody who has a business has sometimes, the thoughts and the uncertainties and the doubts around the business. And then you add the frustration with 5 hours and the 3 hours, like all of that probably all makes sense. So that probably kind of puts you in that above home base place
Oh,
where you
yeah.
were, kind of in that place. So what would you say you needed last night? What did
Well,
you really need?
right where I sit to relax in the evening, I turn on TV that I don't really watch, and then I do Instagram and Facebook. Just it's kind of a whole package. Before I sit down and do that, which is kind of a blanking out, which is what I do when I binge, I exit. That's a better word. I feel like I let's see. Why didn't it work? I have a card on the table right beside me where I have the tools that I use from my toolkit. And I had been through those. And I thought I was fine, but I wasn't.
What did you notice in your body? Kind of going back to what I was talking to Tammy about, when we can really look at the last time you binged, like what did you notice in your body before it was even time for your evening snack? What did you, just
Oh.
reflecting back to last night, what did you notice?
Okay, before then, all I felt was relief from fixing what I had fixed. If there was something else, I wasn't aware of it. And then what the feeling that I had that brought me to the binge from out of snack into binge was I just felt like I was leaning towards the food, like myself was just opening up and enveloping it already, even though I hadn't eaten. Does that make sense? Oh.
So then we go back to the question of what do you think you really needed? We know you didn't need 4 Diet Cokes and 4 cups of popcorn and 4 protein bars. What
No.
did you need?
Yeah, what did I need? I think I needed a better exit than sitting and watching TV and having my snack.
Okay. And what would that be?
Well, I'm not sure what it would be, but when I got up this morning, I just felt like I needed a big buffer between last night and beginning the day today. So I poured a very deep bath and got a super tall glass of bubbly water and an audiobook, and I had a 45-minute bath. I don't think it would have worked last night. I don't think I could have been quiet enough to do it, but it sure worked this morning.
Okay. So you had a lot of energy. Here's what this tells me. I don't think I could have taken a bath and been quiet and done that
Yeah.
last night because I had this excess energy.
Yeah.
Here, so what you need to think, contemplate for yourself is what could I do to drain the energy? That's
Oh,
what I
yeah.
was looking for the popcorn and the protein bars and the Diet Coke to do
Yeah.
for me. I was looking for it to drain the energy for me. I
Mm-hmm.
know that doesn't really do it, but that's really was your need in the moment. Every single one of you listening, you're all going to have times where you have these crazy days. Things don't go as planned. It's frustrating. It's like, oh my God, I was planning on 30 minutes and I just spent 8 hours on the computer. Like, right? Like, I just want to pull my hair out. We are all going to be there. Here's the magic is to learn how to feel that, notice that, like, when it starts coming in your body, and then figure out, experiment with different ways to bring that energy down. There will be something that you can find that you can do it. Part of the other question that I would ask too for you is like, when you started eating the food, like started with the popcorn, like what does that conversation sound like? Like that's the other thing to look at.
I remember thinking, oh, crunchy is good right now. Crunchy is good.
So for you, it's clearly you really needed that training. But as you were eating, were you just tuned out? Are you thinking crunchy is good? Are you thinking I shouldn't be eating this?
I was in a permissive state. I was aware of it. I was enjoying it, popcorn. I was where I was eating. I was where I was enjoying it. I knew how much I was eating because I wanted to be able to write it down on my sheet, you know, so I would know to try to figure it out. But I was in a permissive state where you can eat anything you want that you can find.
Okay. This is what we want to look at. Permissive is different than like truly like permission to take care of your need. Permissive is like you can eat anything you want, anything you can find. You can basically eat until you can't eat anymore, is essentially what you gave yourself permission to
That's
do,
how I'm
right?
using it.
Yeah. What if your permission shifted to, all right, you can eat as long as you actually are enjoying it, as long as this is really doing what you want it to do? There's got to be at some point. At what point, if you were really paying attention last night, at what point was it like not really so fun and enjoyable anymore?
I think it was all the way through. And as soon as it stopped being fun and enjoyable, I just stopped.
Well, except you said that you ate.
I could have eaten a lot more than that.
Right. But you said you ate until you literally couldn't eat anymore.
Yeah, right.
So was that, and it was enjoyable up until the whole time?
I think it was, yeah.
Okay.
It was crunchy. I think what I was going for is the crunch and the chewy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I used to have binges that were a lot bigger than that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm done in an evening where before it would be weeks. And I think I maybe even months, a couple of, you know, like 30 years ago.
Yeah. It's fascinating. I mean, you binging at 70 is absolutely, I mean, I have worked with people who are older than you who, you know, recover from binge eating. It is absolutely possible for sure. I think for you, I do see that I think you are right on with your own self-assessment that I do think there's probably some restriction here in terms of what you're talking about. And then you, when you get into that, like permission, like you can eat whatever you want, like as much as you want, that is kind of the sign of somebody who does not let themselves eat what they want when they want otherwise. And so if you aren't really giving yourself permission otherwise, then that's where we can get into that pendulum. Like, no, no, no. Like we hold it back. And then we have these moments where, you know, we feel like kind of the tea kettle is sometimes an analogy I use, right? Like you can kind of see yourself building, building, building. And then all of a sudden it's just like, bah! And then, you know, it's we go to the pattern of the food to kind of calm that. So I think for you, there were two things going on. I do think you have some restriction. I do think you have some restriction and that is showing up it for you. And you also had your nervous system where your nervous system, you were above home base. You had that excess energy and, you know, we're kind of looking to drain that. I think it's brilliant what you did this morning in terms of like making that connection, doing your worksheet, really kind of like bringing yourself, grounding yourself to that place so that, you know, you can like, all right, like now we can move on. But I think it's so important for any of us to learn from any binging experience. So let's look at last night's binge. What did you learn from it?
Well, I think that rather than what kind of food I'm eating, I want a quantity. It's like a quantity. There's that. Let's see. And as far as bringing my energy level down, I didn't do the tapping because I'm not very good at it and I need to practice with the video, but I did the other things. the breathing, the hug, the pause, the it just didn't quite work. I just needed more, I
Well,
think.
and here's what I will tell you. When restriction is at play, when true restriction is at play and your body is not getting enough food, no amount of the other tools I'm not coming up with a word, but
be
will
louder than.
Yes. The restriction is always going to be that number one thing. If you are not giving yourself, if you are not feeding yourself enough, it does not matter all the other, you could use every single tool in the book and still end up binging.
Okay.
So I think for you, if you have, you already have a spidey sense that you may be restricting, you might just consider, and if you're looking for like, I want quantity, like I'm just looking for more, I'm just looking for food, that really shows me that your body is like, hey, we need more food on board here. So you might experiment with that a little bit, bringing in a more consistently, a little bit more food, a little bit more food consistently, and just see if that doesn't kind of like calm down some of the additional chatter.
Okay.
A lot of times when people start eating more, if the amount of reduced food chatter, or when people start eating on a regular, consistent basis, kind of with the like timed, scheduled thing that we were talking about earlier, it reduces the food chatter so much just because your body's like, oh, okay, she's going to feed me.
I do better on the timed thing. I really do. Except sometimes I do move my eating time up because I get too hungry.
So there's another example. If you are somebody who really does like get really hungry, pushes your hunger quite a bit, you probably do have some restriction to play. And that restriction, it literally is the number one restriction is, aside from shame and judgment are what keep us binging, restriction is what causes most of us to start binging in the first place.
So, okay. So going back to my question about how can you tell if you're binging or restricting other than having binges, how do you tell?
Well, you actually have some of the classic signs, like wanting more volume, you know, really like limiting yourself, like kind of limiting yourself in certain ways, having this kind of sense that you want more. Those are very classic signs, getting like really hungry and, you know, kind of beyond before your eating kind of time might show up. Those are all really classic signs.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That is our time, everybody.
Thank
Thank
you.
You so much. Yes. All right. Let me put you back to attendee. Okay, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. I have just loved being a part of this group. I will continue to be a part of this group. You just won't see me on these monthly binge calls, but there are all kinds of replays available in the library. And I also have a podcast. If you want to check it out, it's called Binge Breakthrough. New episodes every Wednesday. All right. See you. Bye, everybody.